Session number 30,008, Mr. John Capon, Reel 2. Now, how long were you at? Anything else about your time at HMS Ganges? You were there 6 weeks, were you?
Yes, nearly seven. But
so that's what, June to August?
Yeah.
And then what happened next?
Well, you come out of Ganges and you're allocated, usually you go to Chatham.
And that's where you went?
Yeah.
And so that would be, what, August?
Yeah.
Now, what happened at Chatham? What were you doing there?
Well, you just wait for your turn for a ship.
You haven't been trained in anything special at the time? You've done no gunnery?
No, I've done that gunnery while I was on the Obedient. I've got my gunnery badge.
Up to this point, you haven't got any...
No, none of you. You're just an ordinary seaman. And you stayed an ordinary seaman for the first year.
Anything else you were doing at Chatham?
Only mess deck work. And
what's mess deck work?
Well, like the POs serving their dinner, you know, the part of the petty officers, and do the washing up and all that. It was...
Fatigue,
yeah.
And how long were you there waiting for a posting?
Oh, I wasn't there long. I got one in December.
Well, that's 4 months then.
Yeah.
So, well, nothing happened in that 4 months? No,
I got the Obedient in December.
Now, what sort of a ship was HMS Obedient?
Destroyers. If you go to Chatham, you become a destroyer rating. And once you're a destroyer rating, you never have another ship unless it's a destroyer.
Now, can you describe the Obedient? Give us a picture. There it is. And see if people, they can't see it at the moment. Can you describe what she was like? What type of a destroyer she was?
Well, she was an O-class destroyer. Built in 1942.
So she was pretty well brand new.
Yeah, pretty brand new. I went aboard her in, she was a four gun. She had 4 4-inch guns, pom-poms, that's multiple two-pounders, Oerlikons, that's multiple cannon machine guns, 8 torpedo tubes, and that's about it. That was the armament.
Now, what was she like in herself? Was she a good... Spoiler?
Oh, good ship, yeah.
Didn't roll a lot.
No, well, all destroyers rolled, didn't they?
But she wasn't worse than usual.
No. Hey?
Is she dry?
What do you mean?
Below decks. Some ships
are no. If you had a stern sea, it come over the stern and go straight through the mess decks. You know, because the mess decks was at the bows of the ship. The quarter deck was at the stern of the ship.
So she could be pretty wet.
Oh yeah.
Now, where were you where was she when you joined her?
In Hull. She'd just come out of her running up trials. She'd just been handed over to the Navy from a yard in Goa in the east coast of Scotland, and she'd done her running up trials, and the Navy had accepted her, and then she come down to Hull for just a small refit, put other things on like radar and ASDIC and the wireless telegraph and all that, and I joined her then.
Now, what sort of reception did you get? You know, you joined, how did they make you a part of the crew?
Straight away, you was accepted.
Were you told what was going on?
No, you just reported to the boatswain. He was a petty officer. And he allocated you a mess. And he said, you're starboard one or starboard two. I was starboard one. He allocated you a mess, and 16 or 18 of you used to be in that mess.
Now, what was your mess deck like? Can you describe it?
It was just a table.
Chair.
How big? About as long as this room.
So about 15 foot?
By 20 odd feet, say 22 feet. And then the forward part of it was the anchor, the chains.
Now,
cable.
And what was in that mess deck? So there'd be a central table.
Yeah. And then there'd be the gun pod, you know, the 4-inch gun pod.
What's that? Pod?
Well, aren't, you know, the 4-inch gun, sling round, or 18-inch gun. But that's in a pod. It's just standing in a pod, that's all. It's not fixed down. It's just standing on a cog where they can turn it or elevate it. And that was in the mess. And then in between us, starboard one and starboard two, would be our little canteen. And then on the starboard side of the mess would be the telegraphs. And underneath us used to be the smokers' quarters.
Now, was it comfortable? I mean, was it a hammock? You were in hammocks?
Hammocks then, yeah.
What did you think of hammocks? Was that
the best sleep you've ever had.
Now, why?
I don't know, somehow your body used to fit right into it.
Did you have trouble with them at first?
No, none at all. You just rigged your hammock up, put your stretcher in.
What's a stretcher?
A stretcher is a lump of wood with two notches either side, which kept the hammock open. Put your stretcher in and there it stayed. Used to make that every day. You make it up every day, lack it up and put it in a hammock rack. I'll tell you why they did that. Say the ship was hulled, you got a self-appointed plug there to plug it.
Now, what were your duties on the ship? You know, you joined the ship, but you weren't very good at anything. You hadn't been trained a bit of seamanship, but you didn't know anything else, did you?
Well, nothing else to know but seamanship. Well, I was allocated the pom-pom deck as a loader. Soon picked it up.
Was that your action station or your crew?
The action station.
Now, what did that mean? You know, what were you doing as a loader on the pom-pom?
Well, when the pom-pom went off, if you was in action, when it was in action, you used to feed the belts into the four guns. Each gun had a separate, you know, ammunition tray. And that was your job, keep feeding that belt going in.
Now, how did you do that? Where would you get the belt?
From a ready-use locker, you know, it's like a iron coffin, and they used to send it up from the magazines, and they used to automatically be put in the iron coffin, and you just pick the belt up and clipped it on.
Now, was there much training to this, or is
it? No, you sort of picked that up yourself, and then during the rest of the day, you was either allocated a job up the forecastle, chipping paint or scrubbing the deck, which were iron decks, or things like that, keeping the ship nice and tidy.
So how would you clean the ship? What was cleaning ship? What did it mean?
Well, soap and water.
So you didn't have to scrub it, it was just a matter of mopping it down?
Just mopping it down, yeah. When you went to sea, you had a free wash anyway.
Would you polish?
Oh, yeah, all the brass work had to be polished and all that.
Now, when did you start on the watch system?
You would start that right away.
Can you explain for them what the watch system was?
Well, the watch system, the first watch, the first watch is the morning watch, which is 4 to 8, 4 o'clock in the morning to 8 o'clock. Then you had the noon watch, which was 8 o'clock till 12, noon. And then you had the dog watches, 4 to 6, 6 to 8. And then you come up to the midnight watch. That was from 8 o'clock till midnight. And then you had the first morning watch, which was midnight to 4 o'clock. And then 4 o'clock to 8 o'clock, and you went round the clock that way.
Now, what would you do when you were on and off watch?
Well, usually you're at like sort of a defence station.
So you'd be on the pom-pom?
Yeah, I'd be on the pom-pom all the time, yeah.
That's when you're on watch?
Yeah.
When you were off watch, that's when you'd be cleaning the ship?
That's right, yeah.
Or resting?
Mostly in harbour, you'd be doing that.
Now, what about the food on board? I know food's not your thing, but what about the food? And which
the food? Well, you know the Navy pays for their own food, don't you? You don't get the... You get a grant. During the war, it was 1 and 6 a day. And you spent up, each person used to do a job, which they was cooking a mess. And you got that every, I think it was every week. You had it every week. Everyone took turns once a week. And you used to get the dinner, you used to get the dinner ready or breakfast ready.
Would you actually cook it or would you just...
Oh no, you send it up to the galley.
So what would you do to it?
Just prepare it.
And then?
Send it up to the galley and he used to cook it. The chef used to cook it. And then at meal times you go and collect it. Then lay the table out for the ones in your mess.
Now could you cook?
No, I couldn't cook. I still can't cook.
So how did you manage?
What do you mean, how did I manage?
Well, when you were cooking the mess.
Well, when you say you're cooking a... Well, actually, it's cooking a rook, what I used to call it.
But you've still got to prepare the food,
haven't you? Yeah, you prepare it.
Actually,
but you don't actually cook it.
So you knew how to prepare it?
Yeah.
So what sort of things would you prepare?
Put your taters in if you want them baked or boiled or whatever, and send up the...
What about the meat?
Meat, send it up the galley, you just cook it, chops or sausages. Everything was cooked by the galley. Barring, if you'd have made a Manchester tart, or what they called a duff, you know, a spotted dick or something like that, you used to mix that yourself. And then send it up to the galley to be cooked.
And what was the food like that resulted from this? Was it good or better than...
Good. Because you paid for it yourself. The Navy didn't feed you.
Now, anything else about the routine? What about your first voyage? Where did you go? What were you doing?
Well, my first voyage was at the... we left Hull when we was finished. Well, I was up there. It was up there about 2 months in the dock.
What were you doing? Just waiting?
Waiting to get the all clear. And then we went straight to Scapa Flow. And that was our base, more or less. And then from Scapa Flow...
Now, what was Scapa Flow like?
Oh, bloody horrible.
Why?
Nothing there. Simply nothing there. If you went ashore... You said, go ashore by the Whaley, you know, we called the Jolly Boat. And you had it was like just going into a canteen and having a drink. There was nothing to see.
The big canteen on, is it Plotter Island or there's an island, isn't there?
Yeah, well, there's Kirkwell, isn't there? Lioness.
So which one would you go to? Which canteen?
Anyone you like, you know.
What were they like, these big naval canteens at Scapa?
Well, it's just a canteen. You sit down, go and get your beer, sixpence a pint, and go and sit at a table with your mates.
Now, what was the atmosphere like?
All right.
Any fights?
No, none at all.
No trouble there?
I've never seen a fight there yet.
How much would you drink? Because you're still underage. They don't know you're underage. No. You're still well underage.
Oh, I only drink about 2 pints.
So, a bit of a social drink.
Yeah, social
not
drink.
Not to get drunk.
No, I don't think any of us got drunk. Some of them did. You know, you're not supposed to come back on board drunk. And if the officer saw you, he'd put you in the jug. You know, it was a good discipline in the Navy. You either knew what you had to do or whatever.
Now, what happened next then?
Gone to Scapa Flow. Yeah, we went to Scapa and then our first trip out. We done a running in, you know, because we was a new destroyer.
What does that mean?
Well, running in like you run a new car in. And the Navy give you an okay on it. Take a couple of engineers out and they look at the engines and the boilers and all this. They go right over the ship to see if the contractors have done their work. And, we got up to first convoy. We picked it up at Akureri.
Now, do you know its number?
Yeah, it's in the book there.
But you don't know?
Yeah, I've got it all in the book.
Now, we're just looking at right, was it,
I think it might have been before that. JW52.
JW51B is your first one, December 42.
Yeah, that'll be it. That's when we ran into the loot cell and the Ipper, the Von Ipper, for the Battle of the Barents Seas.
Now, we'll come on to that, but what were conditions like? I mean, what were the sea conditions like?
Well, it was no calm days. Once you got the Scapa, you got the force of the North Sea and the Atlantic meeting. Well, what would you want me to say? It was rough. Right, now, when you go to, say, South Sea at Pompey, or Southend, you're looking out to sea. Okay, and that's the sea you see. But you've heard the saying, he's crossed the bar. You know what the bar is? Well, if you look out far enough, you'll see ripples of white water. The sea don't actually start until that bar. That's what they call the bar. Now, when you say, oh, especially an old sailor, oh, he's crossed the bar, that means to say he's dead. That's all it is. Now, when you go out, the further you go out, I mean, you've been across the channel, ain't you? Right? You get outside Dover. It's lovely. Now, when you start heading out across the North Sea, you'll find the ships going up and down a little bit. Well, once you go up, say, into the Atlantic, or the Bay of Biscay, or South Atlantic, you're talking about 40-foot waves. And when I say 40 feet, if you have a look at the page of that book, that convoy book, If you have a look at the front cover, you'll see an aircraft carrier, say 18,000 tons. You'll see it up on edge. Now that was JW61, I think it was. That was the worst storm I've ever seen.
So how big were the waves?
I would think the waves there were something be like 60, 80 feet to lift that carrier up. If you have a look at it, it's on the front of that cover.
They can't see, remember?
Eh? You don't know it's 80 foot, but you're going upwards. You only know them when the ship crashes down into the bow, you know, into the rough of the wave.
Did you get seasick?
Actually, I never. I knew a lot was. We had a guy aboard us, Peterson, and he wouldn't come below decks. He just would not come below decks. He slept outside in the break of the forecastle. Sometimes he was covered in snow. But he would not come down. Not because he was terrified. If he come down, he shouldn't have been in the Navy. If he come down below the deck, he just used to heave up. But I personally was never seasick.
Now this convoy, JW51B, set off on 22nd December 1942 from Loch Ewe.
That's right.
West Loch Ewe,
up at Scotland, on the east coast of Scotland.
Now, what do you remember of what happened for you?
Well,
you do meet
we met the convoy sailing up there, and we got into the Barents Sea. That's when you start turning to go into the Kola Inlet. And December 31st, New Year's Eve.
Now the convoy had already broken up with bad weather, it says in your book.
Not all of it, no.
Not even partially.
I don't agree with that, because we wouldn't have put down a smoke screen, would we?
So tell me what happened. It's the 31st, is it, that you meet the Lutzow?
The Lutzow and the Von Ipper.
Now tell me exactly what you remember of happening. You were on your pom-pom, were you?
Yeah. Well, we saw some flashes, and then this Willie Bennett, our captain of the pom pom, he said, "I know some firing going on up there." He said, "I wonder who they're firing at." That was, and he said, "It must be the KG-5 up there, you know, the Butler." But it wasn't. It was the Ipper firing at the destroyer. So the Onslow put a smoke screen down, and we was diving in and out. We put the smoke screen down to cover the convoy. And
how did you put a smoke screen down, or did you not?
Well, we made smoke out of funnel.
So the engineers are doing it?
The engineers downstairs, they get the order, make smoke.
Could you see the Lutzow or the Hipper?
They're about 4 miles away. Don't forget, we never had the range, although we fired at them.
No, I just wondered if you saw them.
Oh, I saw them on the horizon, yeah. Or near enough the horizon. We wasn't that close, because... We never, if we'd have got in any closer, I wouldn't have been here talking about it.
Were you nervous?
To be truthful, no.
Why not, do you think?
Because I couldn't imagine them ever doing any damage to me. I suppose I was self-opinionated.
Were they firing at the Obedient?
Oh, they fired at all of us.
And what were the shells like?
Splashing, yeah. The Obedient got one shell went off on the side, never penetrated the side, blew the mast, all the aerials down. Before that, though, it had hit the Arcades, the Lutzow done the Arcades.
Who was firing at you, the Hipper?
The Hipper. And the Hipper done the Onslow, where he got the VC, Captain Sherbrooke. He got the VC for that. And he made our skipper, Kinloch, take command. And of course, he blew our aerials down, and we had to onset the command to the Orwell, our sister ship. And we had to withdraw into the smoke until we could get the aerials up. But the Onslow had a bridge blown off, there was about 46 killed in the gun screw, you know. You're talking about 8-inch shells.
Now, they tried to rescue the Onslow. The Onslow's the one that sank.
No, the Onslow never sank.
The Acates.
Yeah.
You're quite right. The Onslow was damaged,
yeah. Yeah, it was damaged.
Did you go and try and help the Acates?
No, you couldn't do, because there was a rule up there when you're on a convoy, you couldn't pick up survivors.
Were you aware of that?
Yeah, they did, though. A lot of captains put their two fingers up at that rule. Because if a sub... Done a ship like it did the Maratta. If it torpedoed a ship and another ship went to pick up the survivors, the sub ain't, he hasn't fired a torpedo and gone, he's still there. Now you're going to stop the survivors, he's got a beautiful target, hasn't he? And bang, away you go. So you weren't allowed to pick up survivors, but a lot of our captains, given their due, stuck their fingers up there and picked them men up.
Anything else you remember about that action? Your ship was firing, I presume, but wouldn't be hitting, would it?
Yeah, I think we registered a couple of bits. Matter of fact, the gunnery officer from the Sheffield, that was the cruisers, the Jamaica and the Sheffield, come up more or less rescued us. Because they had 6-inch guns and they hit the Ipper. And then, like, we withdrew. We left it to them and the Ipper, then suddenly it turned and full speed and shot away. They knew that they were not outgunned, but they knew they had no chance with two British cruisers who had 6-inch, you know, guns, parallel guns. And the Ipper, I think, it would give them orders, don't enter into battle with the Royal Navy.
Now, what happened, I mean, what What happened after that? You carried on to Kola, I presume?
We carried into Kola, yeah.
You had no trouble with submarines on that trip particularly?
No. There was going up some submarine scares. But you didn't know, you just got a ping. But a ping could have been a well. It could have been a shoal of fish. Them Asdics, and in cold water, them Asdics was unreliable to transfer the underwater waves.
Any air attacks?
Oh, yeah, we had a few, but nothing to speak of. In JW-52, we had a torpedo attack.
That was JW-51,
right? 51, yeah.
So,
that was an hard one, that.
Did you get tired? I mean, how tiring was it, that sort of...
Well, don't forget you was young then, you know, it was sort of gung-ho, wasn't it, you know, come on, let's get at them. No, you never got tired.
Did you ever have to do watch duty, bridge duty, you know, not watch, but bridge, where, you know, where you...
Yeah, each one had to supply, each gun deck had to supply, only for an hour, a lookout.
Did you ever do it?
Oh yeah, it took your turn.
Tell me what lookout duty was.
Well, you sat in a pod. On the side of the bridge, and looked out with your binoculars, which had white, red, blue, and green lenses. Whichever the moonlight was out, it was used to be the blue lenses. You know, like to take the glare off.
And were you looking at a particular quadrant or area?
Yeah, you was looking at a particular area. Like if you was on the bridge. Your area to look at would be Port Quarter.
Up and down, so the sea and the sky?
Yeah, but mostly the sea was looking for periscopes.
Now, what about below deck? How did you get on in the mess deck? It's quite tense and the rest of it. Was there any trouble or not? Were you all
no, none at all. A few arguments, you know, silly arguments, but no trouble as you know, trouble, what trouble means.
Did you make any special pals
amongst
the
rest? Oh, yeah. I still meet them.
Do you remember any of the names?
Oh, yeah. I'll still go down to Portsmouth. Matter of fact, I got the letter there, bruh. I booked up for Portsmouth for 3 days.
So who did you make?
The 17th Destroyer Flotilla. That is the 8-0 ships. And we meet every year at Portsmouth. The one.
What's his name?
Oh, the names of my mates.
The particular ones you remember?
Well, I told nearly all of them. I mean, how many, when do you want me to start?
You didn't have a particular pal. It was more that you were all pals.
We were all pals.
What about the NCOs? The NCOs?
Leading seamen.
Leading seamen. They were okay.
They were okay.
What about the officers? I mean, because you haven't liked officers. How was the ship?
Pigs.
On ship as well?
Yeah. Especially the RMBR officers. They thought they were God's gift.
They were the worst, were they?
Yeah.
Were there any particular officers you remember? The captain or anything?
Yeah. Kinlock. Kinnock. Kinlock. And, what was it? Irwin.
They were captains, were
they? Yeah, they're good captains. Kinlock was something special.
What made a good captain?
Well, you never see. See, you got to think, in them days, the Navy were elite. You had to do an aptitude test to get into the Navy anyway. And the officers were absolute snobs. Absolute snobs. But the worst ones was the made-up ones of city clerks and all that who joined the RMBR and made up of officers because they went to high school.
Can you tell me what made a good officer?
A good officer treated like Oram, Sub-Lieutenant Oram. I liked Oram. He was the Sub-Lieutenant Oram. He was the son of Captain Oram who went down in the theatres. No, he escaped from the theatres when the submarine... The submarine went down in Barkhanhead, and he was the only one who got out because they let him out because he knew the ins and outs of the sub and how to attack the slingshots for it. But he was a nice fella. I ain't got a Donovan, a disciplinarian. We see him, still see him. He's still.
What was so good about the captain?
Irwin, he was fair. He was fair, Irwin. Kinloch left after the Battle of the Barents Sea. I think he got an extra ring.
Why was he special?
Well, he was a gentleman. He was RN, Royal Navy, proper Royal Navy officer. They wasn't too bad. And they were all the aristocrats. But it's all these, you know, like people who's been a clerk or worked in the city.
Wartime ones.
Yeah, got their two rings, wavy navy.
Yeah.